Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up. Like a sex machine. Get on up.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9 The Game.com. Good morning, Georgia. It's Sam and Greg from our virtual Kia Studios. Also want to remind you guys, you can check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. While we take care of a couple of things here, listen, I can't go, it seems like 12 hours. Well, not just me, but all of you. All of us go 12 hours without hearing about another loss during this time, whether it's somebody from the sports world or another celebrity or whatever. So we're talking, prepping for this morning's show. By the way, good morning, Georgia. I'll say it again. And talking about the loss of, I guess we call her a sports matriarch. You know, the funny thing is, I don't know if Jaihee's there already. We're trying to get Mr. Crenshaw plugged in here. I think the best way to talk about or describe who Phyllis George was would be a pioneer, women's broadcasting pioneer. I mean, she was on NFL Today back in the 70s. Anyway, Phyllis George passed away. 70 years old? So we're talking about her and her contribution and that old NFL show, NFL Today show. And this was news that wasn't broadcast when we started the started our prep before this morning's show. And by the time we finished, we got news that Mike McCaskey had passed away. This is a guy who ran the Bears all those years. He's the oldest of the 11 children. The 11 children that Virginia Hallis McCaskey had. And he ran the team, but he passed away. He was 76 years old. Virginia McCaskey, of course, she's the daughter of George Hallis, running the Bears. So it just seems like with every turn, we're losing somebody. Let me check in and see if I got Mr. Crenshaw with like me. Sam, you there?
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Greg. It seems almost daily. And you know, some of them are of natural causes, and some may be connected to the virus, but still, just losses of people, renowned people, people who made major contributions. And you talked about Phyllis George and just being a trailblazer and what she did. But those of us who are old enough to remember the old NFL Today, with she and Herb Cross and Brent Musburger and Jimmy DeGreek, that was like that. Just raised the bar for all the NFL programs that we see now, the Sunday morning programs, or shows that we see during the week to just highlight news from the National Football League. That show was the gold standard. Matter of fact, you know, at the time, Greg, CBS had the contract for the old NFL and the NFC teams. The AFC was on NBC. I don't remember if NBC did a program like that. Maybe no, they did. I don't remember they did. Maybe because I'm here in Atlanta growing up and the Falcons were the 1 o'clock game. So I never turned over to check that game out until after 4 o'clock anyway. So it was always the Raiders or the Chargers or, you know, I never got to, I just didn't, they did have one.
If you remember,
Do you remember it?
No, I don't per se. I'm trying to remember when, it was when Jimmy the Greek showed up, as opposed to him not being on the show. But you remember the ABC broadcast. You remember the CBS. You knew that one of them had the AFL, the other one had the NFL, or yeah. NFC, if you will. But no,
it was NBC at the time.
Yeah, I can't think of who was on. Jeez, it was completely
forgettable.
That's
when ABC started Monday Night Football, because right. ABC was out of the loop with the National Football League until they brought the Monday night game. So it was just the gold standard for so long, Greg, of the Sunday afternoon. You wanted to see the show with Musburger, and they come on taking the live pictures from every place, and you're looking live at Lambeau Field, and you're looking live. So, you know, that was his trademark thing.
He brought that from Chicago with him, too. Hey, listen, now that we got you, we got to do something again here, because this, you know, this show doesn't feel right unless we do this. So, again, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Thank you. Feel much better.
Are you ready for the day, Greg? Because the big debate today is what's really back and maybe what gets back first. Obviously, we know that NASCAR is back today, and we're glad to have Adam Alexander joining us later in the program at 9:20 there at Darlington. Of course, I applaud NASCAR for being the sport that was able to keep their fan base engaged through esports during this time. Mm. So in so many ways, it kind of didn't go away. It was there. Maybe they picked up some new fans as well. Because nobody else could replicate what they were able to do through playing the esports. So they're at Darlington. They're doing things differently today. There's no qualifying. They had a draw for the who's on the pole, which I think they can do that some other weeks too, for my part. Mm-hmm. Qualifying, you know, that. Yeah. I mean, I know it's something that they've always done, but if they try it this way and it goes better, and that's what I'm looking forward to, that is you had a draw. Brad Keselowski is on the pole for it. You got some Ryan Newman is a great backstory. Last time we saw him was that horrible crash at Daytona. We saw him walk out of the hospital just.
I was just about to say that was the last time we saw him with his daughters.
Yeah, but I mean he wasn't ready to race yet. He had some head injuries, and so he's recovered. He's back in the car today. Also during that time, Kyle Larson lost his ride while driving, quoting a racial slur. Lose not only suspended but loses his gig. So Matt Kenseth is back. He hadn't driven in, I think, about 18 months, but they're going to throw him back in the car today, and car 42. So a lot of unknown going out there, which to me adds to the suspense. And they're going to do 7 events in 11 days, which is just, you know, prime time racing, just a lot of things, trying to take advantage of this time when they get the stage. But that's the debate. Are they first back? Because, you know,
yeah,
UFC
they are.
Has been
yeah,
back.
They are.
Well,
yeah, they
UFC
are.
Has been back. UFC
they ain't
has
the
been
major
back.
Sport. They're not even equal, man. Come on, NASCAR's well, they, NASCAR you know, they overall.
Have, they did have a great story last night, though. Walt Harris, who had his stepdaughter murdered back late last year, stepped back in, and he lost his fight. But just the idea of him getting his mind focused to go in and fight made last night special with UFC. They've been fighting down in Jacksonville. I think the next one they plan to do in Arizona, if permitted. And so they're back, but that's not the only one. PBR is saying, hey, we were back first.
Yeah, okay.
Professional bull riders say that, hey, what about us? You know, we were back. So a lot of people want to lay claim to who's back first. We had soccer back, I think this league that they're playing, and they played in front of empty stands yesterday for the first time. And I have friends in California who's big. I mean, you know, husband of one of my classmates, he was an international soccer official. So if there's soccer anywhere on the planet, he's got the dial spinning, the satellite going, he's going to find it. And she asked him, so how did you like that with no fans out there? He says, it's kind of like having a meal of unseasoned food.
That's a good way to put it. That's a real good way to put it.
Right.
It's well, like you got to think about that.
Yeah.
How comfortable are you going to – listen, everything is going to be an adjustment. And so pretty soon sports are going to sound like sitcoms from the 80s where you're going to have a whole lot of canned laughter. You're going to have a whole – Joe Buck talked about this. He talked about the fact that there's going to be a whole lot of sports where they're going to – I mean a whole lot of games where they're going to be piping in sound, crowd noise. Because here's the thing. This is what – is going to be the conversation after game one of week one of the NFL where there's no fans. And those sideline microphones, because somebody's going to be working them, are going to pick up the sound of the way these guys hit each other. Imagine that conversation the next day.
Well, not just that, but the conversation that goes on throughout the game. That's something, you know, if you're in the crowd, you don't get to hear that. If you're on the sideline, you do.
You hear.
Those guys are talking the whole
they
game.
They can hit a delay with that. You can hit with somebody cussing. But you can't get rid of that sound and the crunchy noise and people talk about, you know, this being a collision sport, not contact sport. We've gotten past that. But this being a collision sport and the sound of that, the sound, all the behind-the-scenes sounds that the crowd normally drowns out, you're going to be able to hear that.
College football, so I guess we're going to pre-record
football,
the fight
period.
Song. You're going to pre-record the fight song. So if a team scores, you're going to have to, the band's not going to be at the game.
Nope. No, they'll pipe
college,
that in.
That's the part of college football. Everybody has a fight song, so you're gonna can the fight song and just push the button and play.
Yep, that's exactly right. Everything's an adjustment. Everybody's gonna be acting like Marines, you know, adapt and adjust. Because at the end of the day, what is this still? The event is gonna happen, but it's a TV show. Because nobody would be fighting to get this thing back if they didn't get money from the networks to broadcast these things. So they're putting together a TV show, and they're going to make alterations here and alterations there. And so, you know, we'll see. Listen, once again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Obviously, we will get into the last dance talking about that. It ends. You talk about football season. You know how you feel the week after football ends? That's how a lot of people are going to feel tomorrow after the last dance ends. You've been following this thing for 5 weeks. All of a sudden, it's gone. So we'll give our thoughts on what we're going to see tonight. We're going to hear radio replay from Falcons head coach Dan Quinn. He was on with Dukes and Bell a few days ago talking about NFL coming back. Sam has an event that he has been hosting for the last number of years, but obviously he is not going to make that trip. We're going to talk about this event that he hosts in Savannah and what it represents. Going to talk about a little high school events coming up. We're going to talk to Jasper Jewell and some other things coming up throughout the show. So we're just getting started on a Sunday morning. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Remember, check us out on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers.
That is until the day that my producer happened to thumb through the pages of my notebook. He came across the words and he said, "We got to do something with these words."
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Morning, Georgia.
Morning.
It's Sam and Greg. Remember, you can check us out on radio.com app and all your devices, including your smart speakers. Hey, Sam, I'm throwing you a curveball right now. You want to play a quick little game?
Okay, I'm up. I'm up for it.
All right, you ready? Okay, good. We'll do this throughout the show. I'm going to ask you a question, and you have 5 seconds to answer. This is an actual game. It's called the 5-second game, and I was playing this not too long ago. So I just, throughout the show, and it's not to embarrass you or anything like that. You know, if you had it, I'm going to actually get you one so you could do it to me back. But it's just kind of a fun thing, and I think our audience will give it a try, too, as they're listening. So you ready? You got 5 seconds to answer this question. You ready? Name me
Go ahead.
Three.
Fire
name,
away.
Name me three museums. Got 5 seconds.
Okay.
Dog, you didn't get one. 5 seconds are done. You see what I'm saying? This is
said three museums.
Yeah, three museums, and it's called
three
the
museums
five.
Museums in 5 seconds?
Yes. Okay, here's another one. Here's another one. You'll like this one. Name me three bald people. Go.
Yul Brynner. Me, Michael Jordan.
Ooh, see, there you go. You just made it, too. So that's and it's just random questions like that. This is just three, you know, name me three dice games, thing like that. So throughout the show, I'm just going to ask you questions. And like I said, it's not to embarrass you. It's a nice little thing. We'll see if our audience can do it too, obviously.
Okay.
Virtually.
Of course, we invite them to participate, as always, on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0092 line.
I got you.
404-741-0929. Or give us a call and join in the conversation at 404-741-0929 on this Sunday morning.
Yeah, one of the things that we used to do, by the way, on this Sunday morning, we should take a second and say happy birthday to Matt Ryan.
Hey.
Today's his, and you know how old he is today? He's older. He's finally older than what he gets per year.
Wow.
He just turned 35 today. He makes. Jeez, when you say this out loud, it just gives you a reason to pause. I think he is the age which Russell Wilson makes in a year, 35.
Wow.
Man. I think that's Russell. I think Russell's the highest paid this year. The way that all breaks out, I think he's getting $35 million. But anyway,
well, Matt was for a while.
Yeah, Matt was. So Matt turned 35 today. So happy birthday, Matt Ryan. And I'm sure he's
happy birthday, Matt.
He is very grateful, and we're going to get into most grateful things. But we started off the show talking about some things coming back, and we continue that because NASCAR's getting at it today. There were some events that took place, a smattering events, and you can call them sporting events, you can call them competitions, whatever. But people out and about being filmed, getting sweaty, that's enough for a lot of us sports fans.
Well, I'll tell you what else we got. There's a golf event today. No, it's not the tour. And the last tour event was televised on March 12th. And no, Tiger Woods is not involved in this one. He has something else coming up shortly that he'll be involved with. But, Greg, to me, just the idea of seeing an athletic competition and you don't know who's won it yet. You know, because everything else we've been seeing and stuff, you know, we watch it, but we know who won. I mean, I got caught up this week in a college football game, an old Miami versus Florida State game. And you know how most of them things end. Florida State misses a field goal at the end. It happened about four or five times to Bobby Bowden. But you watched it to remember all of those players that went on to play in the NFL that were on the field in that game. And so that made it neat. But like I said, you knew how it was going to end, a missed field goal. Instead of wide right, this one was wide left. Right. But today we're going to get to see something, some events take place, and we don't know who's going to win because it's live sports competition. It's something we've been missing, and we're going to see it. No, it's not football. No, it's not basketball. No, it's not baseball. But the people are competing, and we want to watch it because there are going to be no spectators. Once again, it gives us an idea of what is to come and what's going to be the new normal, at least for this upcoming season and up until next spring, for sure. That's kind of the way I think things are going to be.
All right, so what you're talking about is Rory McIlroy, Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson, and Matthew Wolff are going to be playing in an event, and they're raising money, obviously, for coronavirus and okay, that is what it is. And these guys really don't need fans around. So this is going to be a televised event. That's cool. But you don't play golf, do you?
Seldom.
Okay. There are some courses, and these guys probably don't need it. But people like me, when we play, I'm always looking for a tree or a bush. And I've heard some of these golfers, not Tiger so much, but or the top guys, but other golfers talk about, I was aiming my shot for this dude who was in the yellow shirt. I could see him out there because it's a dog left or right. And so with patrons out there, there are times that a golfer will actually line up a shot, you know, with a tree or a person out there. Now, again, you can't have that for every hole, but it's just one of those little things that they're going to have to make minor adjustments to. And I don't know how much golf is going to be affected like this by this. And we talk about NASCAR. Each one of those drivers will tell you they don't even notice the crowd when they're racing.
They don't, but if it's something you're used to seeing at the different tracks, and that's something they're going to have to used to is driving a whole race. Yeah, they may go to a track and turn some practice laps with the place empty, but they're not used to racing and competing their hardest when the place is empty.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They don't see them, though. But they're saying they don't see them. They're saying that
they're there. Yeah, when they know that they're there, and if they're on a parade lap, if they're on a pace car lap or something, they see them. But no, you need to be focused on what you're doing. I totally get what you're saying. When you're going at that speed, you got to be totally focused on it. But it's just the idea of it. I mean, usually before the race, they do driver introductions. The guys go up on a platform, and the crowd cheers for them, and they acknowledge the crowd. That won't happen today. You know, so there's certain things that usually go on with the racing teams. I saw a report on ESPN. Marty Smith went and visited Ganassi Racing, so Chip Ganassi Racing, right, and saw only a handful of people in that race shop working on those cars. And it's usually, you know, dozens of people in there working on the cars. And just the things, the adjustments that they're making. They're going to be working, you know, They're going to have to try to practice social distancing, the pit crews. And you think about the other people that have to be there for this race. And we found out that, you know, the AMS race is back on the schedule the weekend of June 6th and 7th. We're happy for that. NASCAR is going to make good on the race here at Atlanta Motor Speedway. We're going to talk. We're going to check in with AMS in the coming weeks leading up to that event. But you think about all the emergency workers that have to be there, the EMT, you know, fire and rescue, you know, people who must be there, your sheriff, your law enforcement. They have to be there also, your safety crews, when if something does happen, if there is a wreck or a mishap. Those folks have to be there as well. And so, you know, you it won't be completely, the stands will be empty, but the people whose job it is to be there and work and make it happen, they got to keep it, like you said, keep their focus and try to get things done in a different type environment. We're going to be watching today just to see how they respond to a different environment. It's going to be unique to see.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers. All right, so here's my question.
Yeah.
And we're going to have, this is going to come up throughout the show, so forgive me for being redundant, but I have this running through my mind when we talk about all of this stuff. What is the acceptable number in your mind as to people who test positive from going out to these events? And I use the blueprint that we already have in place. Dana White threw his event up last week. You had one of the fighters that tested positive, and then you had his corner man and another person in their camp. So three people tested positive coming up to that event, that UFC event. All right. We watched an entire sport shut down with one positive test, and that's the NBA.
Right.
So what is going to be the acceptable number moving forward as far as when you close the doors on it again and go back in your tent and wait for this stuff to pass? I mean, that's my question with all of them. I realize it's rhetorical, but that's going to be the thing moving forward. So after this NASCAR event today, everybody's going to be testing and checking out the people who are on these crews and doing these events.
They're going to get checked coming through the gate today.
Right.
Everybody's temperature and everything's going to be taken.
But Sam, they're already there at the track, so they've been there for a day or two or however long. So it's not just what happens today that we see on TV. It's just their entire time being at the track, interacting with people. There for the Darlington race. Okay, when they finish this race, and they're going to be there a few times, right?
They're going to be there for two or three days. They're
right.
Going to race again. They're going to race again in prime time this week at Darlington.
So
they're doing things differently.
And like my point is that how long, you know, how many people have to test positive? How long are they there for? And again, this is going to be different than a football game down the road where you show up, a team flies in for X amount of days or a day, does the game, you know, plays the game, and then they leave, as opposed to these guys being there for a while.
Well, those are things we're going to ask Adam Alexander later on, because we want to know, what about the guys with the crew? Are they all staying together in one place?
That's what I'm saying.
Are they going to be that type of team? We know that the drivers drive their own, well, somebody drives their RVs to the location. So they stay in their RVs. They're on the grounds at the Speedway. They don't have to go stay in hotels. They're staying in the RV with their families. So that's, you know, they're in a controlled environment pretty much who they're going to be around. But the other people, we don't know who they're going to be, if they got to go back to hotel rooms or just what. And maybe Adam can clue us in on some of those type things and what's being done, because you can't go out. They can't go out around around other people, that type thing. I wouldn't think of encourage not to. But at the same time, you know, they're back to work. They're back performing. They're giving us something we want to see, at what cost. So that's that's the thing.
This is a lot of wait and see. And that's what we're going to be doing. And it's going to be, I don't have any intelligent responses to what I think should happen. I'm just, again, like everybody, let's just wait and see. Wait and see what happens. But please let us believe you're doing your due diligence and saying this to all the sports. Let us see that. You're putting these sports on for us, those of us that have missed this particular sport. And by the way, this is one of the things that you and I talked about before we came on. What is it that you've missed most?
Yeah.
What event? You know, has it been a NASCAR race? Has it been, you know, we talked about Rory and boys going at it today. Has it been a golfing event? Obviously, baseball. Knowing that you could get up, if you got nothing else going on in May, you can at least watch a baseball game.
Yeah.
And that's gone. I'm actually still wanting to go to my, you know, get the remote control and flip and see what's game on. I still haven't got that removed from my data bank in my head.
I'll go through some of the things, and as we go along today, we think about some of the things that we missed most this spring, things that were taken away from us. And I think I'll start here in Atlanta with the Final Four. I was looking forward to the Final Four being here in our city. We put on a great show, and that was going to be the third and final event of the major events that came to our town when you count the Super Bowl and the college football national championship game. And this was going to be it. The groundwork had been laid. All the bugs had been gotten out as far as logistics for the city. You know, Mayor Bottoms was very excited about that coming off the Super Bowl and how almost flawless that was for the people who came to town to enjoy that event. And so we were looking forward to that and also to seeing which team was going to be there. We had some teams that weren't from the Power Five conferences that looked like they may have had a shot in this tournament. So I was, you know, Dayton was a team I was could be the not just a spoiler, but I was expecting something from that team in the postseason. So I think losing the Final Four was a big one. And obviously there's some others. And share us which one you've missed most.
Masters.
Was it for you, Masters?
Yep. I mean, as we sit here on May 17th, I would have liked to had, we can speculate on what would have happened, but either way, Tiger would have been a part of the ceremony at the end.
True.
Now, either way, he would have been a part of it.
Either way, he's in there, right?
He's in Butler Cabin. So that would, and by the way, maybe they wouldn't have had it at Butler Cabin. I don't know, but I missed that. That's the one thing I've missed so far. Listen, there are people who will tell you about the, you know, would the Derby have run by now?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Mr. Derby, you know, some people will miss stuff as well. Spring football, man, people miss being spring college football, spring games. The high school spring games were supposed to be, some were supposed to be played this past Friday night. We've missed all of that. You know, it could be something if you're a youth parent and your child's participating in T-ball and they're not getting a chance to play. What is it you miss most about the spring while we waited for sports to return?
Take us out, Sam.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. We'll come back. We're going to talk more about that. The Last Dance and something else is happening tonight, virtually. That's going to continue. You listen to Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. We're available on all of your smart devices and your smart speakers.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
It is Sam and Greg. Check us out on the radio.com app to all your devices, including smart speakers. I'm just going to throw this statement out. We will come back to it another time throughout the show. But there was an article that was written by Dave Cote. If I say that right, Cote. He asks the question, what if the Atlanta Falcons had hired Vince Lombardi? Let's just leave that out there for a minute, because apparently that's an actual thing. What would have happened, and what would this Atlanta Falcons franchise be had they hired Vince Lombardi? We'll come back to that. Sam and Greg,
yeah.
Sports Radio 92.
Yeah, I got some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Anyway, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to get into some, speaking of the Falcons, we're going to talk to the but you're going to hear from the head coach, Dan Quinn. He was on with Dukes and Bell this past week. And also a guy named Jasper Jewell. He is the AD from Atlanta Public Schools. And we bring him on to talk about a number of things. But Jasper would have been a part of an event that would have taken place tonight. Right?
Well, or would last. Have been. Would he's have still been going to be a part of the event.
Excuse me. I keep doing it like, you know, like it's not going to happen. But it's not going to happen in the way it has traditionally.
Traditionally, and that is
with
happened.
That is with you in your brand new Genghis formal wear suit standing up there.
No, man.
Hosting this event. And this
the Georgia
is
Georgia Athletic Directors, right? The Georgia Athletic Directors
of
Association. And they usually have their event in Savannah, Georgia. And everybody goes there. And it's over a period of days. They do a lot of things. They do get certification. If someone's coming into athletic being an athletic director at a school, or I want to go up to the next level. Maybe they've been at the middle school level. They want to get certification to increase what they're able to do, or just learn more about it, more fact-finding. Also a trade show. That's where you go there and see the new gadgets that are coming out of high school, new things with scoreboards, new down markers, new different things they're doing in those shot clocks for high school that you want to see them use, Greg. They have all kind of things like that are on display there. But they've been gracious enough to invite me to MC various stages of that event during that week. You know, one of them has been the Hall of Fame induction for those who've been served over a long period of time and been distinguished. The other part is a breakfast that they have usually on the Monday, which is when they give the awards out for Athletic Director of the Year. They do one for each region. They recognize some scholar athletes as well. And so we're not doing that in Savannah this year. They couldn't do it. It should have been held during the past month, back in March. But tonight, we're going to do it virtually. And I've been invited to do something I've never done before, Greg, be a virtual MC. So it's amazing what we can do through the magic of Zoom. But tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to recognize those individuals who make high school sports happen in our state.
So since you couldn't go out and get one, did you ask Phyllis to get the wife or like a daughter or somebody to give you a fresh cut? And line you up.
We got
that taken care of.
We're in good shape.
Okay, because you got to be looking smooth. Because now you're even closer. This is actually worse because you have like an area between where you're on stage doing it and then the first couple tables. You're gonna be right up on you, man. Clip them nose hairs and your ears. Check all that stuff, man. We've been seeing some Zoom going on with people who didn't like look in the mirror before they got in front of their phone or their computer. So.
We've been careful with all that. I mean, the thing of it is, I missed the trip. I missed getting the dinner.
I was in Savannah this year, too, so yeah. I can't believe you're not making it.
That thing, you know? Well, maybe I can tell a couple of bad jokes. You got to give me a couple of bad jokes to use tonight.
Well, I'll pull out something.
I'm counting on you for that. You or Jahi. You guys got to give me each one of you guys owe me a bad joke that I can tell tonight.
So I'll grab something from my Nantucket collection. See how that goes over. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, listen, there's going to be a lot of people starting tomorrow who are going to have a little bit of withdrawal because this last dance is going to end. And it's a kind of a yin or yang, too, because there's a lot of people who are just sick of it. They weren't big fans of the Bulls. They don't care nothing about Michael Jordan, the LeBron fans, or they just don't care about this. Sort of vogue to have that sort of approach to it. But there are going to be a lot of people who are going to miss this five-week Nike commercial.
I think the discussion is going to go on. I think the discussion go on. And we can talk with Jasper Jewell when he comes on next. I think it's been a great thing for coaches. If you're coaching someone, not just participating in basketball, but any sport, you know, to see this example of somebody who wanted to win so badly, you know, and see that example. To me, that's the underlying current of the whole thing. You know, a lot of backstories and things about Scottie Pippen emerging and things about Dennis Rodman going off to gamble in Vegas and Jordan having to, you had all kind of stuff that went on, and that's fine and that's cool. But I think the center thing is just this person's will to just, and it came from a disappointment. It still goes back to being cut from his high school team. He never wanted that to ever happen again. And I think, and look at what it drove him to do. Now you say, okay, we've also found some, in some ways, he's also kind of shallow. And he's also, and some other things. He's human. But I think the overall, the things that you see is that this person just had this, you know, undying passion to exceed and be the very, very best in what he's going to do. He wasn't going to do it if he wasn't going to be his very best. And I think that's an example for young people. And I think that's the thing as I follow social media, I've seen a lot of youth and high school coaches using that as an example or quoting examples that they see throughout it. So to me, it serves a great purpose in that way too, other than entertainment. And for those of us who are old enough to remember, you know, bringing back some memories that we thought were really special.
I'm having a hard time trying to pinpoint a couple top athletes that have even half of that amount of drive. Okay, so once you get past somebody like Tiger and may he rest in peace, Kobe, when he was playing. Those two guys, who else can you look at? Now, I'll tell you what, we talked about NASCAR earlier. That I consider different, and I'll tell you why. If you don't have a singular focus for that, we're going to lose you. Okay, so you have to when you're driving a car 200 miles an hour. That's different. But any other sport, can you tell me somebody who you feel has got a Jordan slash Kobe-like drive, Tiger drive, that's at the top of their game? Because I don't see. Listen, we can say that arguably the best baseball player right now we can say is Mike Trout, right?
Right.
Mike Trout approaches his craft with sort of a, you know, I got this, but I'm not going to get all worked up into a lather. You never hear him. You never see him outwardly get manic and or yell at somebody or get discuss it with himself. I mean, he gets disappointed, and you see that, but it's not like what we're seeing from Jordan or other athletes who get animated, I guess is what I'm looking for.
Well, the thing of it is, it's hard.
You don't see that.
It's harder to do it with other team sports because you got to have that collection of people around you for a period of time. With basketball, you got the nucleus, and I think that's the thing that, you know, that Jordan talks about tonight. Some is you had that nucleus. He and Phil Jackson, Scotty, they interchanged, bringing in Dennis Rodman in instead of Horace Grant or Bill Cartwright, but they kept a nucleus. And when they saw that Phil Jackson was going away, he kind of knew that was it. I mean, so that's the other thing.
I get that, Sam, but I'm still talking about, you talked about the drive that Jordan had, and that's what's coming out of this Last Dance.
Right.
And I'm saying we don't see that. You talked about it started with the slight of being cut from his high school team. Well, that doesn't happen that much anymore because, you know, everybody gets to play, right? Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a participation trophy. So you don't really break somebody's heart trying to teach that hard lesson as much in 2020 as you did back in the day. Plus, these guys are knowing that they don't even have to be at the top of the food chain to make a whole lot of money. A whole lot of money. And then you had to fight for your salary. Then people forget, Jordan was only playing for like, until season, let's see, 95, 96. He was at like $3 million. And he did that so the team could go out and spend money on other players like Rodman. But he could afford to because he was making umpteen $1 million with Nike and other sponsors. But he wasn't making
sponsors
a lot of money.
Sponsors that he still has.
Yes, he does. But
he still has all of them.
We have learned through this Last Dance how cheap Reinsdorf was and what he did to Scottie Pippen and so on and so forth. So the money that other players are getting early in their careers, maybe they won't have that drive that we see through Jordan. I just think that he's a dying breed like a lot of the – I mean – we talk about coaches who can't coach the way they used to today, the Bobby Knights and others like that. Well, having the stance that Jordan has and his approach to the game, you don't see that as much anymore because it's not being taught by the guys in front of them. Okay, and like another, I've asked you again, who do you see with that outward aggression toward their craft that we have seen from Jordan and a couple other players, but still nothing at his level in today's players?
Yeah, you have to really search, and a lot of people give LeBron as an example. I mean, but he's changed teams and had to recreate something. It hadn't been all in this one spot, and he's not going to win 6 championships in his career. So that's a whole different thing when you talk about what he's been able to accomplish. You watch to see if you can see it in the NFL, and it's young, you know, a guy like Patrick Mahomes is young. Let's see what winning a championship does for him. Let's see if it lights a fire and a determination to make it a second or a third or fourth. You know, it's curious to watch and see.
You brought up football. Okay. So what football player, let's talk about an all-time great. Did Peyton Manning exude that? That I'm gonna put my foot on your throat and kill you at any cost. He was a great player, but I don't see it from him.
I think he's one of those guys who had that, but it's just hard to put it together and hold it together with a football team. It's what makes us admire Brady and what we can do. I think Peyton Manning will walk up to the line and he started yelling out stuff, and guys on the other side are like, you know, trying to figure out what the heck he's going to do. I think he had that. I don't know if he had everything around him to help propel him to that. And I think that's the other thing you have to have.
I don't put him in those categories because, again, you talk about a quarterback. He's, yes, fiery and an all-time great. But when we talk about what we're saying about Jordan is the guy got in people's faces and willed a skill set in that person and brought it out of them that they didn't even know they had. The whole Scott Burrell thing and other role players that played on that team, or those teams, I should say, the first three-peat, the second three-peat. And so you talk about it's a little harder in football. Well, I can draw two examples that just popped in my mind when you were saying that guys got something extra out of the players around them on a football team. And one was Ray Lewis. And you could tell that Ray Lewis was getting in anybody's face who didn't play at the same level that he did. James Harrison was another one. We heard his name back in the news this past week too. Ray Lewis.
Well, I could think of a guy like with the Bears team, the defense, a guy like Mike Singletary.
Exactly. Go back one more middle linebacker. That's the one. Butkus.
Yeah.
That's the one.
You know.
Who used to threaten people.
So you had guys like that, but I'm saying as far as guys that propel their team to win championships and be there each and every year, continuing to do it. And that's what you think about if you're going to compare someone to Jordan. That's where the comparison is to me. Yeah, a lot of guys are determined. A lot of guys want to play hard. Allen Iverson wanted to play hard. He ain't win no championship, but he'd go out and play. You know what I mean? I mean, he talked about it, how much he didn't enjoy practice, and that's the difference with Jordan. Jordan was, one of the first guy through the door and the last one out when it came to practice.
Right.
And really pushed guys in practice,
I'm not gonna waste any energy getting into that whole debate, LeBron or Jordan, because we've been having it throughout our lives. And when we were younger, it was the whole thing that we felt Ali was the best, and the people that came before us said it was Joe Lewis, and we heard it from
people after that said Mike Tyson.
Exactly, and then you got the whole Jack and Tiger thing, and you got the and in racing we're talking about NASCAR. Is it Petty? Is it Dale Earnhardt? Or is it Jimmy Johnson? So, again, these debates are generational, and they're going to continue. And you could make your case either way. And the most recent one, because of The Last Dance, has been the Bulls, 98 team versus the Celtics, 86 team. We'll get back into that because we're going to talk about The Last Dance later on in the show. Coming up 7 o'clock hour, we're going to hear from Dan Quinn. He joined Dukes and Bell this week. And also, we are going to talk some Falcons and NFL and what it's going to sound like with no fans. Coming up next is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Remember to check us out on radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.